This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Electromech, providing solutions to design, certify, and maintain aircraft wire systems. Every week, John speaks with public and private sector IT experts about some of the IT trends and challenges facing agencies and industry. Now your host, John Gilroy.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. In the studio today, we have two gentlemen, and we're going to talk about data centers from kind of a different perspective. I want to take and change the game around a little bit. Instead of me ranting about software and software utilities and management, we're going to talk about the physical utility itself of a data center and kind of a new approach to it. In the studio today, we have Kent Parent. He is CEO of a company called ByteGrid, and Manny Mencia. He's the president of ByteGrid. Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
We're great. Thank you for having us, John.
Good morning, John.
You know, I write a lot of stuff and I talk a lot of stuff. And my last two blog posts, one was about Amazon Kinesis, another one was about Linux Docker. And there are some people just all excited about new tools to handle the cloud. And I think what people don't realize is, well, there's a cloud that's actually sitting somewhere, sitting in a data center somewhere, you know? And I thought we'd bring in two experts here and talk about data centers and maybe a new approach to data centers and what it means for our listeners and get some opportunities here to discuss some terms like tier one, tier two, and maybe something called N plus one. But before we begin, Ken, tell us about your background, how you wound up with a company called ByteGrid, please.
Sure. So I'm actually from California, so I'm somewhat new to these areas.
USC,
we know. USC, that's right. So I grew up there and came out here several years ago. But I got into this space, perhaps a little bit different than most people. I came through the world of the CPA world. I was started at Pricewaterhouse and lived in that area for 10 or 11 years. Focus really on servicing real estate-oriented clients, some of the mission-critical, but a lot of traditional real estate. And came out here and actually met new Manny many years before we started this venture and was looking to get into something. I ran a company called the Mills Corporation. I was a senior executive. I was the CFO and then the chief operating officer. And that's a publicly traded New York Stock Exchange real estate investment trust here in the D.C. area. And retired from there in 2005, and having known Manny for many years, wanted to get back into the game. And Manny suggested I looked into the data center space, and I said, hey, sounds great, but need some help. You need to come with me.
You know, Manny Mencia, with your name, I thought you'd be the one from Southern California. Where are you from? What's your background, please?
I grew up locally here. So,
well, so I got confused with that name.
and I started my career here also with MCI right at the time of the Bell operating system divestiture. So I was with MCI for 17 years in a variety of engineering and operational roles and helped grow the company to a $40 billion entity. We were very customer driven, product innovative and very flexible. So it was where I first got introduced to data centers. Initially, just supporting a corporation of our size, and then we productized that and extended it to our customer base. I left MCI in 1999 and focused strictly on data centers from that point on. Another locally based company called OptiGlobe helped launch that company, and we built, operated data centers in Latin America. And delivered managed services there. And coming off of that, I convinced Ken that there was a technology real estate play here where they were coming together, and it was a platform that was growing and quite underserved at the time.
So we got real estate one side and tech on the other side, put them together. So one and one is four, kind of interesting. You know, Ken, I go to a lot of events and I'm always sitting at these circular tables and I meet someone and they say, well, what does your company do? So if I'm sitting at an event with you, Ken, and you have a name tag on it that says ByteGrid, I go, well, are you software developers? What do you folks really do?
Right. Well, as Manny said, our business is really the fusion of technology, real estate, connectivity with the carriers. There's a lot of elements that come into it. So what we do is we provide, I guess the best way of describing it is the physical structure for which IT operators can come in and do their thing. We also provide a level of services within the buildings themselves. But we own the physical structure. We operate the physical structure. We will provide a level of service to our customer base so that they can be successful with their deployments and their operations. So that's a little bit different than I think maybe some of your listeners are accustomed to when they think about data centers. A lot of the people they're thinking about are the people who are actually operating the applications within the data centers. We actually house those the physical structure that allows them to operate, and we own the entire structure, and we employ directly all the people necessary to make our our company successful.
So, Ken, when someone is listening to this in 6 months after the Nationals win the World Series, they go, oh, so you guys don't really compete with Amazon, do you? So, no, you're a whole separate different category here than what we normally have on the air.
That's right. Very little overlap in terms of the services that we might provide versus they. But Amazon is much more likely to be a customer of ours than a direct competitor.
You know, Manny, when I was a young man, I played tennis, and my coach told me that got to hit them where they're not. And so your approach to data centers is, well, what about Silver Spring, huh? I mean, this is what your unique value proposition for your company is. You hit them where they're not. Isn't that true?
That's exactly right. The Washington marketplace is one of the largest marketplaces for data centers, but they're largely concentrated out in Ashburn. And we looked at the canvas here, and we determined that Maryland needed a structure like the ones out there, and that it would be very complementary to the critical mass that's over in Ashburn there. So that's why we focused on Silver Spring, and we've done the same thing in other cities like Cleveland and Western Chicago and Atlanta.
I don't have to tell the listeners, Manny, that if you go up Wisconsin Avenue, there's a little facility out there you might drive by called NIH. I mean, there's a lot of healthcare IT in that whole corridor, isn't there?
There sure is, yeah. And throughout Maryland and downtown D.C., there's a tremendous amount of government agencies. And we've been very successful early on with the consolidation efforts that these agencies are going through and supporting the Department of Labor in their consolidation efforts.
Ken, your company can be found at bytegrid.com. You can also find a story about you at washingtonpost.com, can't you?
You can. Yep.
What was the impetus behind that article, and who wrote it, and when did it come in? In February, I think, right?
The article came in February. I mean, it was a piece just doing a profile of the company because we were up and coming and growing pretty quickly. So we, through the efforts of our PR personnel, we were able to get them to come in and write an article and describe what we're doing and what we're all about. It was a very positive piece.
And, you go to someone's website like bikegrid.com, you feel, oh, yeah, they're just going to say the good things. But the Washington Post is not under any, pressure to say the good things. They're going to say, look, they come up with a new idea. Rather than have a data center in Ashburn, well, let's go to the other side of the river. There might be some advantages to that. Well, guess what? There's a lot of humans on the other side of the river as well, aren't there? So it's a kind of interesting story of hitting where they're not, like in tennis again, isn't it?
Exactly.
When I read about a data center being started in Cleveland, in the 1950s, Cleveland used to market itself as the best location in the nation. And according to your website, it talks about Cleveland being hosted within 500 miles of half of the Fortune 1000. And so is that the reason why you picked Cleveland, or why did you pick Cleveland for this data center?
Yeah, absolutely. It strategically also, it's located smack between New York City and Chicago, two large financial markets. So that was very attractive to us. The networks that run and connect those two population centers also run right through Cleveland. But Cleveland itself has established a big healthcare presence there. And healthcare requires a lot of data centers to house and store the data and provide the business intelligence tools to support that business.
Yeah, I think Cleveland also has a few other things going for it. A lot of people that are operating data centers are very focused on, where's a safe, secure environment? Where can we operate in a low-cost environment? And Cleveland absolutely is a location in the market that offers those attributes. Very low risk of natural disaster in Cleveland. Low cost of power, secure power, and a very low operating environment. Sales tax abatements, a number of things that from a potential customer's perspective are very important in their success to make sure they're in a safe environment, in a well-connected environment, as Manny suggested, in an environment where they can be profitable because the operating costs aren't too high.
And you don't have to spend $600,000 for a one-bedroom condominium in Cleveland. You can hire people, and they can actually buy a house and not have to worry about starving in order to have 800 square feet somewhere close to a metro.
Sure.
In my world, they toss out all kinds of terms. I work with software developers all the time, and they'll say DR. Whoa, what's DR? Disaster recovery. Oh, and there's all kinds of ways to define that. Let's take a quick break and come back. Let's talk more about data centers and look at data centers from the perspective of a federal IT professional. Well, you want to have DR. You want to have data recovery. Well, what's the advantage of having, you know, information here and in Cleveland and maybe in the West Coast somewhere or in a different city? I think it's good to have multiple instances of your data. It is good for disaster recovery. It's just best practice. They call it COOP in the federal government. You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio today, we have Ken Perrin, CEO, and Manny Mencia, president of ByteGrid. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, we have Ken Perrin. He's the CEO, and Manny Mencia, the president of a company called ByteGrid, B-Y-T-E-G-R-I-D, and they have data centers that are not in Ashburn. I guess that's, you should have on your business card or something. We're not in Ashburn, are we? We're talking about all kinds of things, odds and ends. When you go to your website, Ken, there's a whole section that talks about compliance, and it goes ISO 9000, ISO NIST. I mean, you have to worry about compliance for these data centers, don't you?
You really do. A lot of our customer base is very concerned about the compliance aspects of our data center, the security aspects of our data center, and particularly the federal government. And this is one of the reasons that we really bought this facility, is because not only is it kind of in the sweet spot of our business plan, as Manny suggested, we like to go where people are not, and Southern Maryland was certainly an underserved area. But this particular data center, used to be owned by a bank, a Fortune 10 bank. It was operated by a bank, built by a bank, completely refreshed in the last few years to a very, very high standard. And that's it's part of our business plan, again, to deliver a product and service within a physical asset that meets the highest standards, the highest attributes in terms of security and compliance and a lot of other aspects. And that's why I think it makes it a very good prospect for a federal government tenant and agency, which, as Manny again suggested, is something we've been successful early on, as well as any enterprise user that might be concerned about those attributes.
Manny, I work for a small software company. We just hired a guy from George Mason. He's an electrical engineer, and I force him to do push-ups every day. So why? Because he's the new guy. You always pick on the new guy. And when it comes to data centers, I mean, you're the new guy. I mean, you're the new guy in the block, and you've had a lot of success. And so why have you been so successful? I mean, that's the question. People, we've never heard of you guys from 5 or 10 years ago, kind of new. Why are you so successful?
Well, as Ken said, we started with an asset that was very proven. So it was owned by a Fortune 50 bank, and that attracted us to the history of it, the personnel that supported it, that refreshed the facility, that have operated it for the last 10, 12 years. We picked up and onboarded that team, and we were able to then build the company on those resources and expand that way. The second reason is because we're very flexible. We listen to our customers. We're customer driven. We partner with them, whether they're enterprises, whether they're large or small companies, whether they're government agencies or systems integrators and managed service providers. So we align ourselves and integrate ourselves both with our partners and our customers there. And lastly, it's really about superior service. So operational excellence is at the core of our practices, and you see it, and you mentioned it, and all the certs that we have with the compliance grade. You talk to our customers, you talk to our partners, and we're confident that they'll tell you that they rely on us, and that we're a valued partner to them.
So, Ken, do you compete with companies like Savvis, or who would you compete with?
A little bit. We compete with companies that, again, are more focused, I think, on the physical layer of what we provide. So companies like Digital Realty, DuPont Fabrilis, CoreSite, they're all household names, I guess, in the data center space, particularly in this area. They're in Northern Virginia. But we really compete across the country. We're competing on RFPs that have multiple sites that they can go into. So we're competing with different locations, different operators. I mean, the interesting thing is there's not a lot of people really in our space. First of all, the multi-tenant data center space, it really came about as an outsourcing alternative for companies. And with the proliferation of the internet and more folks getting more and more comfortable with outsourcing, you know, you're finding, you know, we're just finding tremendous opportunity. And you have 6 or 8 major markets around the country. Again, you know, our business plan is to focus more within segments of those markets or completely different secondary or tertiary markets where we see a lot of demand, but there's absolutely no supply to meet that demand.
So what's the Maryland Connect anyway? Fiber connectivity lead, is that what it is?
It is. We're carrier neutral, and we attract all the carriers under our roof there so that they can provide services to our customers there. So we've got the largest concentration of carriers in Maryland, and the connectivity is critical to data centers and to all the applications that rely on data centers there. So that's a big focus of ours, not only in Silver Spring, but in our other locations as well.
Yeah, we're one cross connect away from Northern Virginia.
Huh, that's real close. As far as, you know, we mentioned earlier, Ken, about COOP and disaster recovery and multi, this is one of the advantages of having different facilities, is that the geographic locations for your data can be separate and distinct. Hmm?
Absolutely. You know, a lot of users want to be close to the data, so they need something that's geographically close, but a lot of them do not. And many of our users need secondary operations. They could be production or purely secondary. They could be backup, disaster recovery. So we're seeing a lot of requirements for people that need multiple locations, which is why it's important for us and anybody to be successful in delivering a product and service in our space to expand geographically. And we have done that. We started here. We moved down to Atlanta. Then we moved up to Cleveland. We moved to Chicago. We're about to close on something in the Northwest. So we're gradually making our way in across the country and in the domestic platform.
That's great. In the break, Matt and I were talking about some of his travels. He's been to Argentina and Brazil and everything else. So my question to you, Matt, is going to be a very interesting question. See what the response is here. My first question to you is, você pode falar português não? Você pode? Well, that's the answer to the question, that one. With a name like Mencia, say, take it. Wow, that was a trick question coming up. We knew it was coming up.
I'm impressed. You stumped me on that one, and I am impressed.
Yeah. Did you make that up, or is that an actual language?
Well, that's Portuguese.
Okay. Portuguese. Ask him in Spanish.
Yo puedo responder también. Muy bien, muy bien. You know, Ken, the world of federal government is full of all kinds of acronyms, and there's one acronym called LMCO for Department of Labor. What is that exactly for my listeners? Maybe they can glom onto that. Maybe Manny?
Lockheed Martin.
I think you're talking about Lockheed Martin. Mm-hmm. It was the prime on that contract. So they're the ones that actually we have the direct relationship, but we also have a relationship with the Department of Labor because they contracted directly through Lockheed Martin, who contracted through us to be in the data center.
So you're partnering with a lot of different companies here. So many of my listeners may know the companies you partner with, and so that's the man behind the curtain. And so Lockheed Martin's providing real good service. The man behind the curtain is Ken and you.
Exactly. And you mentioned, do we compete with Savvis? And Ken said that not really. They're more likely a customer of ours. And really, our business model is that we provide the flexibility to the end user to either come into our space and do whatever they want themselves. We give them the conditioned floor space, and they can install their own racks and servers and equipment and technology on there. They can decide how much of it they want to operate themselves, what they want to outsource to other partners or providers like the Savvises that are also under our roofs, or the Lockheed Martins and others there. And it's really a flexible model that allows you to evolve and transform your business as needed.
Manny, I'm going to have F5 Networks in the studio in about a month, and we're going to talk about software-defined networks. And one aspect of a software-defined network is reducing the number of data centers. And this, of course, is a big imperative from the federal government, and this is an area that you can work in, isn't it?
It is, yes. And it's to have a lot of separate and scattered data centers is very expensive because like our facility, the lowest cost and total cost of occupancy relies on scale, economies of scale, and we're able to provide that. And that's why you see these big consolidation movements, and you also see movements into outsourcing, where even the most financial services companies that had the required security and were the most paranoid is the word I was searching for, have started letting go and outsourcing those services because it's more efficient to rely on a facility like ours And they realize it's not their core business and it's not their core competency, and let's rely on experts that can give us the lowest total cost of occupancy.
It's an interesting concept. I'm looking at both of you. So one's got a real estate background, one's got a technical background. I'm looking at my notes that says multi-tenant data center facilities. It's really someone who understands managing real estate and then managing, I guess, figuratively real estate as far as acquisitions. It's an interesting concept. I think it's something that is forcing me to look at a lot differently. You know, I mean, when I think of the companies that I've had Lockheed Martin in here, I've had all the big vendors in here, and many of them actually, I'll call my buddy Manny and see if we can do this, and then they'll take and put it in a bid, won't they?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
That's interesting. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll talk more about maybe ByteGrid and what your growth plans are and your experience with the federal government. Maybe we can give listeners some guidelines for learning more about your company. You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, Ken Perrin, CEO, and Manny Mancia, president of ByteGrid. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Ken Perrin. He's the CEO. We have Manny Mancia, president of a company called Byte, B-Y-T-E, ByteGrid. You can get more information at ByteGrid.com. They have a pretty nice-looking website. They list all their compliance schedules and HIPAA and PCI and everything else. And when I went to your site this morning, I learned all kinds of new words, N plus one and tier one, tier two, and tier three. And you know, Manny, there's a word coming out now that people talk in the world of the cloud. It's called, I think it's called cloud bursting or called in-center cloud bursting. What the heck does that mean anyway?
Well, what that means is that there's, because of the security and reliability of our data center and data centers like ours, they're perfect location for cloud platforms. And these cloud platforms can be private platforms, they can be public, or they can be hybrid platforms. So just like us being a great location for the network providers to be under our roof and exchange traffic and for our customers to jump on networks, the same applies to clouds, where you can exchange and burst and layer on the different cloud utilities, you know, all under the same roof, whether it's compute or storage or whatever.
Good. I have a lot of listeners who read blogs. I have a blog called Tech Tuesday Blog. I'll be blogging about this interview. I don't know if you know many blogs to learn about the cloud. There is one written by a guy named David Linthicum, and he has a podcast. He writes for InfoWorld. He has a lot of information that bounces around cloud mm-hmm. utilities. I'm sure there's listeners that are going to say, well, gee, John, when are you going to talk about HP's utility for management? Well, no, we're not going to talk about HP's. We talk about physical structures for data center themselves rather than the utilities like HP OpenView and CA Unicenter and all that stuff. And maybe I'll have HP in 2 weeks and we'll talk about their HP OpenView and managing the stuff that you actually sit in and make sure is cool and make sure it's got power and make sure it's backup supplies too. Ken, I want to ask you a question about the company itself. So when would you actually physically sit down with a federal IT professional, a federal CIO, and talk to him? What kind of challenges, what kind of questions would he ask you? And what's your position with some of my listeners as far as, you know, tell us more about ByteGrid. Come on in. I mean, where would you be in that conversation?
Well, I think, you know, there's a lot of aspects of that conversation. And, you know, these folks are very keenly aware on security. So the physical security is extremely important to them. They're also, you know, very concerned about flexibility because they don't necessarily know if we're talking directly. Sometimes we're talking directly to a federal agency. Very often we're talking to a systems integrator. And when we're talking to a systems integrator like Lockheed Martin, or CSE or many others, you know, they have their challenges because they have to deal with an underlying customer who may not be certain about what their migration plans are, what their requirements may be. So we have to be extremely, extremely flexible. And there's a lot of different folks that weigh in, you know, both from the ultimate end user, which is the federal agency, you know, and the systems integrators, which weigh in. And so you're not dealing with one party. You might be dealing with five, six, seven multiple parties in trying to construct something that makes sense for everybody.
Years ago, Alvin Toffler wrote a book called Future Shock. And he's recently being quoted with a new book. He talks about, well, the whole idea behind learning is just being able to learn and unlearn and learn and unlearn because this is your point, Ken. It's just changing so quickly and flexibly. You can't say, oh, yeah, I picked up a book and I knew everything about software-defined networks. You just can't, can you?
No, you can't. Our business is driven by technology, and technology is always changing. The physical platform has changed as well. I mean, it's a lot of the things that support what the folks running the IT do has not changed materially over the years, but it is changing in new innovations in alternative energy sources, how to become much more efficient in delivering the product, how to become much more secure. You know, we're definitely making grade changes there. So it is a ever-changing business that we compete in.
Manny, I've been doing this for many, many years. Some people think I went to high school with Ben Franklin. I think that's probably appropriate to think that. But I've seen everything. About 7-8 years ago, I saw a phrase come in called TCO, total cost of ownership. And all of a sudden, all the salespeople were using this, and it was the phrase of the day, and it got pounded in. And I think there's a lower total cost of occupancy for a data center, isn't there? And that's what you provide.
Absolutely. A lot of it has to do with the economies of scale, just because of the size of our facilities and the fact that they are multi-tenancy there. The customer base is sharing in the OPEX cost rather than it be borne on just one company there in that regard. And the resiliency and reliability that we provide is because there's a lot of redundancy there, and the size of our redundancy is very efficient. Like Ken just mentioned, we invest in new technologies to get energy efficiencies as well there, and all that relates to a lower total cost of ownership than if you could do it yourself.
Right. Especially now on the power side as well. A lot of folks that are operating smaller deployments on their own or in smaller facilities, they just can't gain the same kinds of efficiencies there. And we're much more efficient in delivering power and in particular, the cost of cooling the facility. So that's a real big buzzword. You know, what's the PUE of a facility? And we drive to keep ours down, you know, very, very low. If you're operating a 200 kW, you know, requirement out of your own office, you know, you could be spending three times the cost of direct power just simply on cooling the facility. You know, we're much lower than 0.5.
Now, yeah. PUE is an interesting concept there. I don't know if that's important for the electrical engineers or for the HVAC people. Probably both, huh, Manny?
Absolutely. It is, and it's a cost. It's a
Let's
significant,
define PUE for some of our listeners.
Yeah, PUE. So for every kilowatt hour of power that you're drawing to power up the IT equipment, there is a power draw required for the environment around it there. And most data centers that you see out there, especially enterprise data centers, have a PUE where it's greater than one unit. So for every unit of power that you're drawing just for the IT equipment, you're drawing over a unit of power just for the environment, the air handlers, the chillers, and all that. Our data centers are very efficient, and we're under half a unit of power and towards a third of a unit of power, and that's a much lower utility bill that we pass on to the customers.
Yeah, we pass those costs directly on to the customer.
Yeah, we don't mark up any of those costs.
And so you're just improving efficiencies, yeah. And sharing the cost with the clients in order to be more competitive, of course.
Exactly. And John, if I could make one point on the total cost of ownership or occupancy, that it varies also by the quality or the caliber of the data center. So we have the highest grade facilities there, and they have high redundancy. They're fault tolerant and concurrently maintainable. And so that's a lot more costly facility to build, to operate there, but we're able to do it very efficiently and pass that reliability. And our sites just don't go down. Our track record is 100% uptime, and we intend to keep it that way.
You know, Ken, my hero is a guy named Francis Collins. He's out at NIH. And he may want to take and visit one of your data centers, because on your website it says, come out for a visit. Okay. Well, all of a sudden, you don't have to drive to Ashburn. It's right in Silver Spring. It's close. I'm just thinking of those people on Wisconsin. It's close to everyone there, isn't it? Why would they come out to a data center and visit?
Oh, I think that everybody, these are mission critical deployments. They're extremely important to the success of the ultimate user operation. So they're absolutely going to want to come touch, feel, see what they're, you know, where they're landing. That is critical for, I would say, all of our users. They want to understand the operations. They want to go in the back. You know, it's not just looking out in the computer floor and seeing how nice and shiny it is and how inviting the lobby is. It's let's go back and look at the infrastructure. Let's go back and look at all of those gen sets. Let's go back and look at, the mechanical plant. They want to see it, understand it. They want to talk to the engineers. You know, I think, as we may have mentioned earlier, our engineers out in Silver Spring have been there, you know, for over 12 years. We have a 15-man team. These are certified mechanical and electrical engineers. They know know their stuff. They know how to talk to the customer. And, you know, we always show well when that happens. So we want them to come out. We want them to see what's there. It is in their own backyard. A lot of guys don't know that. A lot of people don't know that. But here we are 10 miles, you know, north of downtown D.C. in southern Maryland, you know, ready to service a fairly big customer base that has nowhere else to go, really.
Yeah, and at the same time, we want them to see the security around the environment there. We have 7 layers of security, starting with our exterior perimeter gate, which has aircraft cabling in it, so it's crash proof. And as you go through the facility, we have biometric eye readers or iris readers and all sorts right. of secure layers.
So resolve any questions someone might have of representations that are made at a website. Now, I want to go out next week, get an appointment, and you can go online, get an appointment, and just, okay, next week I'm going to stop by and see what you have to. It's kind of interesting. I never thought of doing that. Let's take a break, talk more about data centers. You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In studio, we have Ken Perrin, CEO, and Manny Mencia, president of ByteGrid. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio this morning, we have Ken Perrin, CEO, and Manny Mencia, president of Byte, B-Y-T-E, ByteGrid. We're talking about data centers, and no, we're not talking about utilities to manage data centers. No, we're not talking about fabric. We're talking about the actual data center itself. And they've come up with an unusual marketing strategy in going into underserved markets and serving the government that way. Many of my listeners are interested in finding more. Some actually are active on Twitter. My Twitter handle is at Ray Gilray, and your Twitter handle is what again, Ken? Is it its company name?
Yes.
At ByteGrid?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So at B-Y-T-E-G-R-I-D, and look for pictures of these characters on Twitter, and we'll see what they actually look like. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of interesting to find out. We're going to have a survey in a couple minutes. let's talk about quality. I've been studying for my Google Analytics exam, and they talk about quantitative analysis and qualitative analysis. And I think this quality is important. I think the message for my listeners is that, yeah, ByteGrid can provide a very high-quality environment, can't they, Ken?
Absolutely, we can. I think, again, we talked about what attracted us to this data center because of the location, but also because of the quality of the asset. And, you know, this is an asset that used to process trillions of dollars of transactions on a weekly basis, directly connected to the Federal Reserve for the bank that used to occupy it. So it was built to the absolute highest standards. And that's a rare thing to find anywhere. I mean, we operate at a tier 4 like structure environment and with many aspects of our infrastructure, tier 3 and others. And it's just very rare that you get that kind of a quality of a data center, particularly with the operating team. So that was very important for us to be able to deliver that. And I think that's, you know, we're one of the few data center owners in the region that really cater to the federal government. And we do so because of the asset that we own.
And they don't believe you. They can come on down, huh?
They can come on down, see, kick tires. And I think the other important thing is you mentioned qualitative and quantitative. You know, I think the total cost of occupancy is important for everybody. We deliver pricing, you know, at a more of a wholesale level. So we can deliver the best product for a federal government end user at really one of the lowest costs, if not the lowest cost they can get. And that's a rare combination of opportunity. I think we're clearly the value driver here in the D.C. metro area.
So, Manny, when you were in college, you studied computer science, and now you have to be an expert in HVAC and real estate transactions and different types of fiber and cable that you really didn't even imagine studying. So your skill set's being pushed as being this position, isn't it?
Yeah, it's fun. It's technology's that way, and it always keeps things interesting. And at the end of the day, though, it all comes down to business and putting these different piece parts together and productizing them and delivering a high quality service to your customer base.
And building a brand. I mean, it all has to be about the brand. People have to know who you are, know how you operate. If they don't, they're not going to trust their mission critical operations with you.
I like the concept of knowing who you are because people are listening. These two voices going, you see, California, Virginia, I wonder who the card carrying nerd is in this room. And I've devised a scientific test to find out. And this is my patented tech survey or my nerdometer. I'm going to ask each one of you 10 questions. We're going to find out exactly who is the card-carrying nerd.
Oh,
Ken,
boy.
You're first up to bat here.
Okay.
We're going to ask you, how many desktop computers do you have in your house if we go out there today?
How many desktops? Mm-hmm. Boy, we have one ancient tower and three laptops.
Good. And how many cell phones have you personally bought in the last year?
my wife buys all the cell phones, and since our kids keep on losing them, we buy about two or three a year for a family
of
five.
Isn't that amazing? Wow.
Yeah.
And do you have your own Twitter feed?
I do not.
Okay. Do you have your own blog?
I do not.
Okay. Do you use any of the online personal backup services?
I do not.
Okay. What kind of smartphone do you have?
I have an iPhone.
Okay. And any favorite apps that you use in that iPhone? How many of those apps have you used in the last month?
Usually just, I have three different map apps because I'm always going somewhere and I always seem to get lost. And,
you're king of the map apps, huh?
So I'm king of the map apps, yeah.
How many tablet, this is not a new question, how many tablet devices do you own?
I use one pretty religiously, but we actually have probably four or five in the house.
Just, wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Imagine 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And what social networking sites are you active in?
I'm active most on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, most on LinkedIn.
And the last book you read, Ken, was it paper or plastic? Was it paper or electronic?
It was paper, but I'm making my way into electronic.
Well, I think you've been whooping pretty easily here, Manny, here. You get some nerd points going. We're going to ask you the same 10 questions. You better win. So we break into your house tonight. How many desktop computers do we see sitting around your house?
Well, there's one desktop and four laptops.
Mm. And how many cell phones have you bought in the last year?
It's been the same as Ken here. My kids lose them a lot, so it's been four in the last year.
Do you have your own Twitter feed?
I don't, but my wife and kids
count.
Do.
That doesn't count. Do you have your own blog?
No, I don't.
Okay. What kind of personal backup services do you use?
Well, we use Apple, and also I have it physically at home, too.
You're neck and neck with Ken. You're going to have to bump up your answers here. Okay. What kind of smartphone do you have?
I have Apple.
And how many apps have you used in the last 30 days? You have a favorite app? How many have you used?
Oh, I use a lot of apps. 40 apps.
I think you're going to be the winner here.
And so, you know, I love, I have a biking app that I use that I love.
Good. I like biking. What kind of tablet device, or how many tablet devices do you have is the question?
Three at the house.
Okay. Social networking sites you're, you know, active in?
I'm not, no.
Okay. Last book you read was electronic or paper?
Paper.
Wow, we're neck and neck here. I'm going to have to take this in my UNIVAC computer in the basement and run it through on my floppy drives and find out exactly. I thought more out of you than that, Nanny. Well, you're going to have to go home and nerd up, buddy. You're going to have to get maybe a pocket protector and get four or five phones and maybe have your own NAS at home. It's kind of interesting. Well, Ken, this is a studio that does a lot of sports, and there used to be a crystal ball here, and I think someone threw it at someone and got broken. So I'm going to toss you an imaginary crystal ball. Well, where's your company head in the next 4 to 5 years? Where do you see it as far as being able to serve my listeners, the federal IT professionals?
Sure. I think we continue to move across the country. I think that we have a couple more markets we want to move into. You know, we'd rather have significant operations in fewer markets than be widely dispersed, so I could see us being ultimately... we're going to be in 6 markets very shortly. I can see us ultimately being in 10 to 15. And we're also very interested in the overseas. And now that we've established a firm platform here, you know, we're starting to think more about that. Obviously, with Manny's background, South America is very interesting for a lot of folks. And that's something that would be a natural for us. We're also looking in Western Europe and in Asia. But that's a little bit down the road.
Here's an app for you, Manny. It's called Gate Guru.
I have
and
it.
When Ken puts you on a plane, it's a
good
one.
It. Yeah, it's
he
a
puts
great
you
one.
On the plane back to Sao Paulo. You have to take and figure out, you know, what's going on. Why is there delay?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, Manny, Ken just said that going to expand. So what does that mean to my listeners? So you have 4 or 5 facilities. What's that mean to my listeners? Is that better flexibility, better service, or what's the impact?
Yeah, absolutely, that we can support their national needs. We can support their international needs. I think you'll see us expanding to Canada and having a presence in Europe and Asia-Pac as well here within the next 2 years. And a point that I'd like to make that I don't think we've made here to your audience should be important. We're currently FISMA moderate at the Silver Spring Data Center. We're FISMA high ready, and we'll be also our other data centers. We're in the process of getting them FISMA certified as well. And I think that's very important because that's not that common in this area with our competitors in particular.
Yeah, your website lists as MCD1, MCD2. Is that right? Is that like a data center within a data center or something?
Just two different physical data centers and buildings on our campus in Silver Spring. So MDC1 is a larger one, and MDC2 we built in 2009, and it's a more dense higher security, very very well suited for SCIFs.
Yeah, it's important. Yeah. And so the way you see your company growing is that this growth is going to enable better service for my federal listeners and maybe even reduce costs because you can have scale. And, oh, by the way, we can be redundant in a different geographic location that's going to give more flexibility at a reduced cost. That's a win-win for everyone, I would think.
Absolutely. I think we have reduced costs today, but we will continue to become more efficient as the industry grows and as we expand within our individual locations. We'll be even able to deliver even more reduced costs, but perhaps more importantly, customers will be able to grow with us. You don't want to get into a facility and be landlocked and be power constrained because you can't grow. And we that's one of the things that's very critical for us. Wherever we go, we want to be able to grow to support our customers' needs.
Well, what Manny would say is that if there's a cloud burst, we can handle it.
Absolutely, Josh. Yeah.
Now you got to know meteorology as well, don't you? He went from data to HVAC, now meteorology. No limit to your success here, huh? I'd like to conclude the interview here. You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'd like to thank my guest, Ken Perrin, CEO, and Manny Mancia, president of ByteGrid, BYTEGRID. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you, John.
You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Lectromech, providing solutions to design, certify, and maintain aircraft wire systems. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Federal Tech Talk, Tuesday mornings at 9, only on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.